Next to the Amazon rainforest and after days of meetings involving world leaders, the COP30 climate summit formally begins today. The organisers want participating countries to commit to more ambitious climate action plans to advance the goals of the Paris Agreement 10 years ago. Our environment correspondent George Lee is in Belém in Brazil for us this morning. George, good morning.
Good morning.
There will be delegations from around the world at the summit starting today. But the absence of the United States, how significant is that? And can a deal be meaningful without such a big player and such a big polluter at the table?
Well, it has been a factor. There's no question about that, because one of the big things that they have done in their speeches is this kind of repeat of the message, sometimes strong, sometimes less strong, about the need for a strong affirmation of support for collective multilateral climate action, that is to come from this COP. That is, that no country can tackle it on their own. Cooperation is essential. When you listen to what Micheál Martin said himself, which was quite strong, I thought, at the time, he said the main reason, or the reason why he has travelled to Belém, to the Leaders' Summit on Thursday and Friday, was because the United States was not there. To send that message that they're not going to walk away from this climate challenge. And that really is ultimately what they're talking about when they're looking for the strong affirmation of the need for collective multilateral climate action. So it's almost like a reaction. So them not being there has set the tone.
So what kind of a deal then is hoped for? What might emerge at the end of all of this?
It's going to be very interesting to see exactly what that means. There is a little bit of extra time, actually, to get a deal and to get an agreement behind the scenes, because usually that leaders' summit, which took up 2 days last week, is an essential part, usually taking up the best part of 3 days of these 2 weeks of negotiations. Now they're gone. We still have 2 weeks to go. So whether it means it's less manic or that they're going to get into some nitty-gritty, they certainly will have more time. So the kind of things that they're looking for is big pressure on countries, not necessarily to come up with big new agreements and targets, like we're going to get rid of this kind of emission or that kind of emission, but to deliver on the commitments that they've given already. That will be quite a significant pressure on all countries, and to crank up those elements in terms of the targets. We know that warming is now, and this is accepted and has been said here by the UN Secretary General, is going to go above the critical 1.5 degrees Celsius early next decade. He calls it a moral failure and a kind of a very, very dangerous thing, which could trigger tipping points and put some species, such as corals, out of business entirely. So it's the fact that it might be a temporary increase is not the point. It's that it gone over 1.5 degrees, and that can't be taken lightly. So the pressure to do much, much more, that's going to be very significant. Exactly how it pans out, we don't know.
And finance, George, I mean, all of these, you know, to accomplish a deal, it means that the wealthier countries are going to have to put money on the table. How sticky an issue is that going to be?
Very. It always is. There are lots of, no question that people accept that the poorest countries of the world need support, that they are the ones at times who are the most affected by the impact of climate change, whether it is that enormous flooding we remember in Pakistan 2 years in a row, and we've seen the droughts in Africa, we've seen the poverty, we've seen the almost famine conditions at times caused by extreme weather events, and nobody denies that these countries don't have necessarily got the money themselves, either to react at times to the huge impact of a climate disaster or to prepare themselves. And so we have for a long time been talking about climate finance at these negotiations, and there's a lack of trust ultimately between what's called the Global South, which are the poorer countries, and the Industrial North, who keep promising, okay, we'll give you a load of money, we'll put it on the table, and you'll be able to access climate finance. And then they find out that very, very little is put on the table. The targets are way below what should be needed. And sometimes it's loans that have been given, and that's not very helpful when you're the poorest country. So we have a target of getting $1.3 trillion available of climate finance by 2035. It's considered to be what is required to adjust and to help those countries all over the world who need to do either climate adaptation or deal with the consequences of a climate disaster. We have about a commitment of $300 million by 2030 rather than 1.3 trillion or even 1 trillion by 2030, and nobody knows where the money's going to come from. So these are huge issues. That issue about finance will be enormous. There's also the issue, we know that Ireland was very important in its contribution to the establishment of the Loss and Damage Fund. This would be a fund of money which would be there immediately for the people and for countries who have suffered enormous consequences from a climate disaster. 3 years ago it was accepted. At this stage, 3 years on, there's about 1% of the money that's required has been committed to it. So money, money, money is huge. Yes. Implementation is huge. And we'll have to see what comes out at the end of 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, we'll watch it closely, George. Thank you very much. That's George Lee in Belém in Brazil.